come celebrate the Blessed Mother's message alongside other faithful pilgrims at the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help. Learn more at shrineofourladyofgoodhelp.com.
All right, 5 minutes after the hour. Welcome, everyone. I'm glad you're online. So good to see everybody already here. And what a day to pray. I was just talking with Margaret Kleinschmidt, one of my colleagues here who always prays with me, Jennifer Lee, a new associates here at Relevant Radio, about what an extraordinary day this is going to be. If you're just tuning in, because maybe you just listened to the chat, but maybe you need some extra prayer power, today is a day in which Pope Francis has declared, of course we know he's declared an extraordinary jubilee year of mercy, and today's the day it kicks off. It's also the great feast of the Immaculate Conception. So as we turn to the Mother of Mercy under that great title of hers, and of course as we invoke God's great mercy, just personally, and it's going to be interesting. You can mark your calendars. Let's see what happens this year. It's December 8th, 2015. It'll be interesting as we look forward over the span of the next 12 months to see how God's grace is going to flow. My prediction, my personal spiritual inkling, is that God is going to be working miracles in the lives of many people. I think grace is going to flow in an extraordinary way through this chaplet. I believe we're going to see great conversions. I believe we're going to see miraculous healings. I think we're going to see God's mercy just touch lives in ways that we could not even expect. It was divine mercy that actually freed a friend of mine from a heroin addiction. You know, it was divine mercy that I know has worked many miracles in your lives. And of course, you can join me throughout the year. We'll be praying here every day. One of the things you can do, and this is really important, I think, is just to tell one other person about the chaplet of divine mercy. If you do that, I guarantee you God is going to bless you in ways that you cannot even imagine. And I'll tell you that, as the year of mercy begins, not just the chaplet, but just tell them about mercy. The Lord said, souls who spread the honor of my mercy, I will shield through their entire life as a tender mother her infant. And at the hour of death, I will not be a judge for them, but a merciful Savior. That's the Lord promised to everybody who will proclaim his mercy, who will spread it in a special way. You will shine with a special brilliance in the next life. And what great promises, huh? Easy way to do this. Say, hey, you got to tune in 3 o'clock to Relevant Radio. They pray the chaplet. That's 3 Eastern, 2 Central, whatever other time zone that you're in. You know, and just add, it's 4 Eastern, 3 Central. Get my times right here. You know what I'm saying about. And you can stream it online at relevantradio.com. You can download the mobile app, send the link to somebody, or just tell them about it now. But I'm telling you, if you get in, great things are going to happen here. There's no doubt about it. Margaret, good to have you here. What a wonderful day to pray the chaplet.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Drew. And I just, my special prayer intention is just to pray that God will pour out his mercy on our nation, especially, and that hearts will be open to receiving his mercy. And I want to introduce Jennifer Lee here. She's taking my position as executive assistant. I'm staying here at Relevant Radio, but I have a new position here. So welcome, Jennifer.
All right. So, well, Jennifer, it's good to have you here with us as well. I know that Jennifer, like others, don't want to get behind the mic when they first walk in here.
What a great day for her to start, too.
Why everybody's so intimidated by the microphone? It's kind of funny. Scary. They're like, I don't want to talk. It's like, why not? You talk all day, right? It's not that hard. It's funny. Well, it's good to have you here. I'll get some words out of you in the future. I'll leave you alone on your first day. Okay. And we'll lift up all your intentions, too. We're going to pray together. That's the beauty of this hour. It's not just the 5 people that we'll take who call into the program. We really pray for one another. Oh, and one final thing, too. This morning, I went up to the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help, where I attended Mass and where I prayed. I renewed my own consecration to Our Lady. But I presented you in a special way. Everybody in this 3 o'clock hour, I really believe, I really consider you my spiritual family. And I pray for you throughout the day. I say that a lot. Not only in my rosaries and my chaplets and the time I spend with the Lord, but I actually knelt before Our Lady today, and I really prayed for you. And I asked her as the Mother of Mercy to intercede in a special way for this hour of mercy, that even greater graces flow. And that those prayers and those desires, those intentions, those crosses that we'll have, that God will hear our prayers and will truly experience his mercy in a special way. So we'll begin today. We'll pray for one another as we do every day in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus. But the source of life, it gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. no blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
No blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
No blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's go to Texas, down south, for our first call. Hi, Terry. Good afternoon.
I feel as giddy as a kid. I get to offer this for the conversion
it.
Of souls, especially in ISIS and ISIL. And also, too, for you. You lead us. And thank you so much. God bless you, and Mary be with you always. Thank you.
Terry, thank you. Thank you for the prayers. I can't tell you how much that means for me, knowing people are praying for me. But I love this intention, too. I want to pray for you, too, in exchange. I lift up all your personal needs. And the prayer conversion, the Lord told Faustina, this prayer is always heard. I mean, it's one prayer that is always answered. And I believe that. I really do. And we have to believe with the same faith, the same trust for that loved one that is strayed from the path of God, that may be in a bad relationship or doing drugs or heading in a direction that seems like they're drifting further from God. Our prayers are the lifeline that will bring them back to God. And this is a powerful prayer. And this year, I'm telling you, we're going to see great conversions this year. I'm convinced of it. But we'll pray in a big time way for that. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to our next call. This is Chicago. Hi, Kay. Good afternoon. Hi, Kay.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm praying for five people I know who have cancer. One is my brother and the other four are friends.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, it's you, Kay. Hi.
Did you hear?
I did. You're praying for five people who battle cancer, and one's your brother, right?
Right.
Okay. Let's lift it up right now, and we'll pray for you and for all of your needs. And Lord, I pray for anyone who is battling cancer, and this is an intention that comes up every day, and it's one of the great scourges that we face today, and how frightening it can be for those who've been diagnosed with it. And I just ask, again, for miracles. I'm going to pray big time for miracles this year, Lord. I want many, many miraculous healing, especially when it comes to cancer. So I ask you for that, for anyone who's struggling with cancer in any form, in any part of their body. But I also want to pray for the special grace, the fortitude, the patience, the strength that the souls, the loved ones who take care of those who are battling cancer need. So often they need patience and understanding, and so often they battle a great fear. So I ask that fear be replaced with your peace. And I pray for just mercy in all of these areas as we turn to you now. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, go to our next call. We'll go to the land of 10,000 lakes, Minnesota. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Drew.
Hey.
My mom's in the hospital, and she, the left side of her, before Thanksgiving, she had a stroke, and the left side of her main artery was blocked with plaque and blood, and they removed that, but then she had a little stroke after, and now there's something behind her heart, and they said with medication they could dissolve that, but her speech is not really good, and my sister kind of put her on a depression pill, but that really messed things up, and they took her off that right away. And she's still in the hospital, and I'm so worried about her still.
Well, you know your mom doesn't want you to be worried about her, right? That's the one thing she'd tell you to do. Don't worry about me, right?
Yeah.
She's concerned about you. Let's pray for her.
Yeah, she's got 10 of us, so she's got 10 girls, eight girls and two boys. So.
Wow, that's something else.
And I also want to pray for Patricia Johnson. She had just passed away, my sister Teresa's mother-in-law. So she was a very awesome lady, and she is with our Lord now, Patricia Johnson.
Okay, well, we'll lift her up too. Shirley, thanks for calling. Look, be at peace. I know you're really worried about your mother. We all love our mothers very, very much. So.
Thanks, I do.
Hey, but you know,
I'm
here's
trying to bring my family back to the faith, too. I pray so much, and I just want my family to come back.
You know, I'm telling you, this is the year. This is the year. Because amen. But, you know, you're suffering a lot. I know that. I mean, there's different types of suffering. Some of it's physical sufferings, financial sufferings. This is a great cross for you. Unite that fear, that anxiety, that the frustration, you know, whatever the concern is that you have, just give it to the Lord, okay? Just give it to him. Let's trust in his mercy and say, Lord, I offer this up for the conversion of my family members. I do it for the healing of my mother. And right now in this great hour, you got a lot of people praying for you. We're all united together, so you
and
hang in there.
My mom's birthday is the precious blood of our Lord.
All right, what a great feast day that is. Let's
July
pray.
July 1st, 32.
32, wow.
1932, and my mom's 83.
That's something else. Well, good. All right, let's pray right now, Shirley. We'll lift her up, okay? Lord, I just give you Shirley, who's concerned about her mother, and anyone who's got a loved one that's ill, whether it's a child, a parent, a sibling. You just give them peace. Let them know that these souls, Lord, are in your hands. You give life. You take it. You can heal in an instant. Just let us always be in that zone, that mindset, to totally trust and rely on you. I pray for anyone who's suffered a stroke, who's having problems with their speech or their mobility. I'm going to pray for anyone who suffers right now from, blocked arteries where they're going to need angioplasties or some sort of other type of surgery. I just ask for real, just your guidance medically in those situations. And I'm going to pray for those who've passed away. Today is the 35th anniversary of the death of John Lennon when he was shot to death on December 8th, the Feast of Immaculate Conception back in 1980. So I want to lift up his soul. And the soul of Patricia and all others who have passed away as well. There was a priest that, Father Thomas Nelson, who passed away. I want to lift him up as well. So, Lord, we give you our hearts. We turn to you with confidence and trust, and we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, the blood, the soul, the divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Mary next. She's listening in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Drew. It's so hard trying to pick up just a couple of things to pray for when there's such a long list. I could use your whole show. First of all, I wanted to have prayers offered for my father, who is suffering from COPD, that his breathing will ease and that my stepmom, who is taking care of him, will continue to have the patience she needs to be able to help him out. My brother has also been diagnosed with an aortic aneurysm. I pray for his healing and that the doctors give him the good guidance that he needs in order to be healed from this.
Okay.
I also have a friend, Randy, who is going to be having a knee replacement surgery. He has complications of being a kidney recipient, and he also has diabetes. So I pray that the surgery goes successful and that there isn't any
complications.
Any complications, right. Thank you. And also, I want to pray for everyone who's having relationship problems and for those who are pregnant, that their babies be born healthy and brought up in the love of God, and also for those that are trying to conceive or have diagnosis of infertility, that they would someday experience the miracle of birth and having a newborn.
I love it. Beautiful prayer. So let me just ask you a question, because I was struck by the concern you have for, is it your stepmother taking care of your father? Are you concerned that she's growing frustrated or won't give him the best care?
She gives him wonderful care. It's just that we always think of the person who is ill.
Yeah.
And we sometimes forget how difficult it is for the person who is taking care of them. You know, my mother was ill with diabetes, and she had a heart condition. And my father took such wonderful, wonderful care of her. But we failed to see what my father was going through, you know, worrying every day and you know, just the anxiety. And, you know, I know my stepmother is going through the same thing right now. It's impossible not to be.
Well, Mary, I'm glad you recognize it. And so often those souls are overlooked, and she could certainly use our prayer. So let's pray right now for all of these prayers that you've lifted up. And, Lord, I just thank you for this beautiful soul, and I just ask that you give her the graces that she needs. I pray for anyone who suffers from pulmonary disease, COPD, anybody having problems breathing, and those who have, you know, aortic aneurysms or need knee replacement or hip replacements or having trouble with diabetes or kidneys or whatever it may be. But I do want to pray for caregivers. And again, this theme has come up again. It's the second time this seems to have been resurrected. So I know that graces are flowing to these people. I pray for patience and fortitude, for understanding. I pray that they may really find that this role as caregiver is an opportunity for them to show mercy to another, and that they will receive special graces for this, and that their place in heaven will be elevated. And I just pray for those who are short on patience. I pray for those families where there is division, where there are relationship problems. And I just ask for your healing in that as well. And of course, the theme of pregnancy was brought up as well, so I submit to you that and all the intentions of those who pray with me now. You know our own needs. So we unite them to that of Mary, and we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, the blood, the soul, the divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our final call today comes from Luke. He's in Arlington Heights, Illinois. Hi, Luke.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm calling for a very, very special lady, Lois, who had six children by her first marriage, was widowed, and married a widower who had 12 children, and together they had one for a total of 19. But this person is just a wonderful, loving person and has been very giving to her whole family and to the entire area, our extended family. And I also am asking for prayer for the poor souls in purgatory and the peace to reign throughout the world.
All right. Great prayers. Thank you for remembering the souls. Such an important intention. And for peace. Those intentions should be in every one of our daily prayers. Lord, I thank you for Luke. I pray for him, his health, his needs. I pray for all those who are in hospice. And as I pray daily, Lord, for those souls who you're going to take home today, those who are on their deathbeds, those who you'll take home soon, those who you'll take home unexpectedly. And the Lord has promised us that through this powerful prayer of the chaplet that he'll stand between the Father and the dying person, not as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior. So, Lord, we believe that, and we ask for graces of those unrepentant souls that they may convert. We pray for our loved ones who have passed and who are dying, for the graces they need to be with you for all eternity. And we pray for those souls who now suffer in that great place called purgatory, really an extension of your mercy. We just pray for those souls who cannot pray for themselves and those who need these prayers to be released, and those who are most in need of it. So I lift up those intentions and all that we have in our hearts, Lord, as we turn to you. With great confidence, great trust, we pray for these intentions, and we thank you for this great gift of your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible. Please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Our Lady Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for
us. Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Father Sapochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
That was extra long. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You like those extras I threw in there?
Yes.
Few mercy, guys. Father Sapochko was actually the spiritual director to Saint Faustina. And his cause is now open. I think he's Blessed Sapochko right now. Actually, I was just given a relic of him. And he is on his way to sainthood. So if you need a miracle in your life, you may want to turn to him, because he suffered great persecution when it came to divine mercy as well. I mean, Satan did not want this devotion out. That's for sure. In fact, it was banned by the Catholic Church for years. It wasn't until a Polish cardinal named Karol Wojtyła, who would later become John Paul II, overturned the ban. And now this is, of course, the fastest grassroots movement in the history of the church when it comes to devotions. And it has spread throughout the world. And, of course, we're continuing to see the fruit of it. John Paul II died on the eve of the great Feast of Mercy. He had made St. Faustina the first saint of the new millennium. And now we have Pope Francis declaring only the fourth in the history of the entire church, only the fourth extraordinary jubilee. And this year, today, begins the extraordinary jubilee of mercy. So you can tap into it. We'll talk more about it in the days ahead. In fact, there are ways that you can get special graces, indulgences, or some holy doors some things you can do. We'll fill you in on that and more. But, hey, tune in every day, 3 Central, 4 Eastern, and pray with us, the chapel, and tell others. Do that every day. Tell one other soul. We'll build this army of prayer warriors. I'm telling you, this year we're going to see unbelievable things happen. I'm Drew Mariani. When I come back, you're going to love the story I'm going to share with you. I'm going to be joined by a guest who has just been a fascinating story. That and a whole lot more coming up, so don't go away.
I'm Monsignor James Shea, president of the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota. You want a quality education that won't leave you with long-term debt. With tuition at around $14,000 plus scholarships for every freshman and free room and board for eligible Catholic high school graduates, you'll discover why Mary is the most affordable, serious Catholic university in America. I'm excited for you to see firsthand why our campus is growing and thriving with students from around the world. Schedule a visit at cometomary.com. That's cometomary.com.
Father Dennis Cooney on The Inner Life.
I remember a wise priest saying to me, the older I get, the more faith I have in the providence of God, and the less faith I have in my ability to anticipate it. And that is so true. Many times we think we know what God is about, and we don't. But what we have to do is trust Him, and whatever He intends for us is infinitely better than what we planned for ourselves.
The Inner Life, weekdays 12 Eastern, 11 Central, on Relevant Radio.
Father Gerald Murray, pastor of Holy Family Church in New York.
It's a beautiful comment by the Archbishop of Quebec City, Cardinal Lacroix, how he approaches people and the difficulties they face. He says, God loves you as you are, but refuses to leave you there.
Ah.
And I was really struck by it because that's really what all priests try to do. I mean, we say to everybody at Mass, here's God's law. He's given for your benefit. And if you find yourself in a position that your lifestyle contradicts what Jesus says, we're here to help you get out of it. You say to the Lord, I'm a sinner. I know my sins because you've told me what they are. Then God will help you. The church is not this mysterious, unknown force out there trying to make people unhappy. No, the church is a true mother, Holy Mother Church. I'm afraid some people really are using emotionalistic type of healing.
Yeah.
Say, well, if you don't give me everything I want, that means you're mean. Well, just ask Mom if I can have my dessert before dinner if she's being mean. Say no.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
Relevant Radio.
Giving voice to our shepherds. Relevant Radio. Timothy Cardinal Dolan.
Often those Ten Commandments that we extol in God's holy word, often they're caricatured as being restrictive, oppressive. What God is telling us is not what we cannot do. He's telling us what we can do. He's telling us what we're able to do as people freed from the shackles of sin and selfishness, if our thoughts, words, and deeds are consonant with that liberating moral code that He has implanted in the heart of every human being. The Ten Commandments allow us to be the people that our Creator intended us to be.
Giving voice to our shepherds. Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant Radio.
Behold the Band, a Catholic vision of male spirituality from Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
You know, one of the things that I was thinking about when I was writing that book was the passion of the Christ. Right when he's getting ready to start the way of the cross, they put the cross on his shoulders. And if you notice, in just a second, he actually embraces the cross before they start moving toward Calvary. And I was saying to myself, wow, you know, we as men, we could really imitate what Christ did there. All of us are given crosses in our lives. But, you know, we have a responsibility that comes to us from God to embrace that and to recognize and live with courage and conviction the meaning of our fatherhood every single day of our lives.
Jeff, good morning.
I love the topic. It gets me so motivated. I think there is sort of a movement taking place slowly, but I think it is going where men are getting fired up about their faith.
Talk radio.
Talk radio
for Catholic.
For Catholic life. Relevant Radio.
It's Drew Mariani
on Relevant Radio.
All right, 26 minutes before the top of the hour. Thanks for joining us. You know, I'm sitting here just thinking about how privileged I am to be able to pray the chapel of Divine Mercy. It means a lot to me to be able to do that with you, and I am really grateful, and I mean this. I know I say it a lot, but I mean it. So grateful for your prayers, and I do pray for you a lot. The Lord once told St. Faustina, he said to her, he says, the loss of each soul plunges me into mortal sadness. The loss of each soul plunges me into mortal sadness. And I thought about that because I used to be a documentary filmmaker, and I remember filming over in Akita, Japan, back in, I think it was 1989 or sometime back then, 1990, somewhere along those lines. I was working on a documentary called Marian Apparitions of the 20th Century, and I interviewed a nun. Her name was Sister Agnes Asagawa. She had a statue that had wept 101 times, and Japanese media went crazy. It was sculpted by a Buddhist. I interviewed the Buddhist, you know, and the Bishop, Bishop Ito there eventually, you know, proved these apparitions. But one of the messages from Our Lady in Akita, she said the same thing. When Sister Agnes asked about the weeping statue, she said, the loss of souls is the cause of my sadness, the loss of souls. And our Lord not only told Faustina that they plunge him into mortal sadness, but this is what he told us. And this is a year, this is going to be a great year of conversion. This is an extraordinary jubilee of mercy. I'm so fired up for it. I'm so excited. The Lord told her, you always console me when you pray for sinners. So if you've got a loved one away from the faith, you got somebody in need of conversion, pray. Not only do you console the Lord, but he went on to tell Faustina, the prayer most pleasing to me is prayer for the conversion of sinners. He says, know, my daughter, that this prayer is always heard and answered. I mean, that's a powerful promise from God. Know, my daughter, that this prayer is always heard and answered. That's why I communicate that to you a lot during the chaplet, because I do believe that. When people say, can you pray for my sons, my daughters, my loved ones? I don't worry. I really don't. I just pray, and I know it's going to work out. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who are praying for their sons, their daughters who are away from the faith, their siblings, their parents, whatever it may be. I think of Father Don Calloway, had this great conversion story. I remember Carapi, so many other people. What was the key to a lot of their conversions? It was the prayer of their loved ones. It was the prayer of their loved ones. You're going to hear in a moment the story of another great conversion. And this conversion was so profound. It led this soul into religious life. But today, being the start of the year of mercy, we got to think about the fact that mercy is also meant for our own conversion. We pray for others. We should be praying for our own conversions too, right? And we're not perfect. I'm certainly no saint, and I need help, just like I'm sure you do. As St. Peter tells us in his first letter, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, Peter says, but is forbearing towards you, not wishing that you should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And that's what God wants. He wants our repentance, our turning away from sin, our turning towards him. And this year of mercy is going to be a great way to help us, help you and me, in our own individual conversions. So yeah, pray for your loved ones. Pray for those who are in need of conversion. Ask God to convert your heart too. Ask him to make you the saint that you were created to be. Because we all need to be continually converted. And we are converted when we turn to God's mercy and we receive it. It's not always easy to do. My next guest is somebody who went through a rather, I guess I'd call it a drastic conversion. In fact, she was raised in a very solid, you know, Catholic family, even went around evangelizing with her father when she was a little girl. But by the age of 14, things changed. They had deteriorated in her life. And she went from being a daughter in a faith-filled family to being a self-proclaimed atheist. She denied the existence of God. She refused to receive the sacrament of confirmation. But God didn't let her go. It took a few years. It took some time in Costa Rica. But she was finally able to say one day that she was a Catholic. She said, I am a Catholic. And later to pronounce her vows, she actually entered the Daughters of St. Paul. I love her story. I've been talking to her for years. And she's got a book out. It's called The Prodigal You Love, Inviting Loved Ones Back to the Church. That might make a great Christmas present for somebody, your mom, your dad, your siblings, somebody who's been praying for the conversion of somebody away from the faith. Joining me now is Sister Alethea Noble. She is now stationed with the Daughters of St. Paul in their home in Boston, and she's also the author of that book, and you can check it out. It's available, I think, at Pauline Books and Media, or your religious bookstore, your Catholic bookstore. Sister, good to have you back. Good afternoon. Happy feast day.
Thanks, Drew. Yeah, it's so great to be here. Today is such a big day. I'm so honored to be here on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception and the beginning of the Year of Mercy.
You know,
it
is a great day, and I think it's a day in which a lot of grace flows. You know, I love your story, too. I know we've talked about it a little bit in the past, but I do want to revisit your conversion because we haven't had a chance really to unpack it fully. Your parents, and this is the case for a lot of parents, they try their best to raise their children, even when they're young like you. You know, they take them out, and they're living the faith. Your parents are very faithful Catholics. In fact, if I remember correctly, your father is a theology professor and was doing this evangelistic type of work when you were growing up. What were your early experiences like with the faith? And, you know, what happened? Because I think you were young, too. Even as a young child, you began to question the faith. So tell us your story.
Yeah, I was raised in a really Catholic family. I called my parents black belt Catholics. My mom was very faith-filled, and she was a stay-at-home mom for most of my childhood. And my dad was a theology professor. And so they raised me well in the faith, and our home life was really infused with the faith. But there are a lot of things that led me to becoming an atheist, and you know, I often tell people often want to know the reason why, as if that can be kind of the way that they can solve their loved ones' problems. Because I think often when people hear my story, they hope that the same could be true for their loved ones. And sometimes I think people can't even hold on to that hope. They think, oh, well, your story is special. God worked in a special way in your life, but you don't, you know, my loved ones are just really, they're pretty far off. This couldn't happen. So really, one of the main reasons that I tell my story and that I wrote my book is because I really want to give people hope, but also help them in their interactions with their loved ones, not only to pray for them, that is one of the most important things that we can do, but to also be the face of mercy to them and to be an example of God's love in their life.
The old prodigal son story is a great one, you know. Child who rebels, the father always loves him. He comes home to embrace and forgive him. And, you know, that's a case for a lot of people. But I've got to go back to why. I really want to know, what is it that causes you to stop believing in God or just to reject him outright? Was it an experience? Was it an intellectual, you know, arrivement? I mean, what was it that made you come to the point where you would reject the faith of your family and so many others who seem to find real truth in God?
Yeah, it was several things. One of them is I'm just a naturally skeptical person. I doubted whether God existed when I was 5 years old. I had that thought for the first time, and I remember that moment. I was walking up the stairs, and all of a sudden, it was like it stung my mind, and I thought, "What if God doesn't exist?" And I was 5 years old at the time, but so I couldn't quite deal with the implications of a question like that, but. I was really struck by that. And the fact that I thought that at such a young age, I think is a sign just that I had a naturally skeptical mind that I would often question everything.
Mm-hmm.
And with a theologian for a father, I mean, I was blessed with that because he often had many answers to my questions.
Right.
But even with all the right answers, I still wasn't satisfied. I still needed to really experience the faith and experience God in a personal way. And I think I did when I was younger, but as I grew older, my skepticism started to grow stronger. And part of that was related to the problem of suffering. Our family went through quite a bit of suffering, and I struggled with the idea that there could be a loving God and that I could also go through all of this suffering.
That's the number one reason for atheists. I just heard somebody say that earlier, is because they cannot reconcile the type of suffering that goes on in the world. I mean, if there's a God, why he would allow something like that. How did you rise above that question? Because that's an eternal question. Because it's also interesting. I'm an intellectual guy. You know, when it comes to the faith, people who don't believe, I figure, My gosh, if they could only, you know, if you'd sit down with them and explain and go through the theology and they could see the big picture, surely they'll come to understand that this is truth. But really, intellectual arguments aren't what convert. I mean, a lot of times it is the personal witness. It's that encounter with God that brings somebody away from the faith back. So on two fronts here, one, the great mystery of suffering. How did you rise above that? And how important is that personal witness to be able to see God, love, mercy in others to make him visible and real to you?
You know, that's such a good question. I think the problem of suffering is such a, it's a problem that so many people struggle with, and it's such a deep wound in so many people's lives. And I think often we can give the right kind of catechetical response to that, and we can say to a person, well, oh, the reason that suffering is in the world is because of free will. And that's true, and you know, in order for us to love God, we have to have free will. We have to choose between good and evil. And so in order to love, sin had to enter the world, and suffering had to enter the world. Mm-hmm. But when we give that response to people, I think we also have to be really respectful of the deep mystery of suffering. And, you know, when you ask, how did you rise above that? I wouldn't say that I've risen above it. You know, right now I'm feeling pretty good, but tomorrow I could be diagnosed with cancer, and I would be struggling with that question. That's very same question.
I don't believe that. I tell you, no way, because I'm in the same situation as you. I mean, if tomorrow I was diagnosed with cancer, it wouldn't underpin my belief in God. In fact, you and I both know now, and I'd be surprised if you really said, Drew, that's not the case with me, that there is a God, and that suffering is redemptive, you know, and that that we're making our way to our eternal home. Our Lady said life is like a flower. Remember, my children, life is like a flower. It's so passing. This life is so short. You know, we blossom, and then God calls us home. You would really, I mean, I would think that our faith really sustains us in time of trial and suffering and mystery. It gives meaning to it. It gives purpose. It gives us focus.
I think we know these things intellectually, but it takes a lifetime for them to really sink deep into our bones. And I think each struggle with it is a struggle where, you know, if we really trust in God and if we really give our doubts over to God, we can let that love of his sink deeper, and that knowledge that God loves us, you know.
Yep.
But I think we have to be open about the fact that we still struggle, you
That's
know,
true.
We still struggle with the same things that people outside of the church are struggling with. It's not, the difference is not that we don't struggle with it and they do. The difference is that we struggle with it and we give our doubts over to God.
That's right.
We say, Lord, you know, where else can I go? Like the Apostle Peter, you know,
right.
I'm baffled, I'm confused, but where else can I go but to you?
I mean, there is truth to that too, because I had to look back at my own life. There have been times where, look, I believe in God. I have traveled the world, sister, and I saw statues weep and food multiply. I've been in jungles when the Virgin appeared to seers. And I mean, I've seen stuff that few people have had the opportunity to see, such a plethora of these things. I've had my soul read by mystics. And even after all of that, after seeing these great miracles, I can kind of relate to the apostles who saw Christ work all these wonders, and then yet Peter denies him, you know, and that they still didn't comprehend. Because there were times where I went through really tough times in my life where God was taking away a very successful business, and I would pray, and not hear anything. And then I'd question God. I'd say, God, did I buy into some sort of lie? You know, all this time, and does God really exist? So I guess it's human nature to somehow question God, and that's the journey of life. It's about faith, and it's about trust. I look at Mother Teresa, who for 40 years had that experience of God withdrawn from her, and what a dark cross that had to be. You know, as a sister, I'm sure you encounter God in a special way in your prayer life, as I do, but can you imagine not ever feeling God's presence in your life for 40 years?
No, yeah.
It's got to be off the charts. Now, let me take a break here, because when we come back, I want to talk more. It's about 12 minutes before the top of the hour here, folks. I'm speaking today with Sister Teresa Alethea Noble. She has got a great conversion. She was an atheist who God never let go, and got involved in grunge and a whole bunch of other stuff, and God eventually led her into religious life. Today she is a wonderful daughter of St. Paul in Boston. She's the author of a book. Check this out, The Prodigal You Love. Inviting your loved ones back to the church. If you've got a question for her as well, feel free to call us. We'll talk more about her story and how ultimately you can invite that loved one of yours back home. Don't go away.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for December 8th. Today we celebrate the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. A feast called the Conception of Mary arose in the Eastern Church in the 7th century coming to the West 100 years later. In the 11th century, it received its present name, though it took longer for the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception to develop. Not proclaimed infallibly until 1854, this teaching says that Mary was sinless at her conception and remained so throughout her life. Quote, by a singular grace and privilege granted by Almighty God in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, end quote. Champions of Mary, such as Bernard of Clairvaux and Thomas Aquinas, could not see theological justification for such a teaching. Franciscan scholar John Duns Scotus and William of Ware helped develop the theology by pointing out that Mary's Immaculate Conception enhances Jesus' redemptive work. The Spirit led non-theologians in the Church to the insight that Mary had to be the most perfect work of God next to the Incarnation. The incomparable holiness of Mary shows forth the incomparable goodness of God.
There's more about the saints along with the Saint of the Day app at relevantradio.com, keyword saint. Saint of the Day is a production of Franciscan Media.
He used to teach the fundamentals of golf. Now he teaches the fundamentals of the soul. Tomorrow on Morning Air, hear the story of Father Ryan Browning and how Relevant Radio played a part in reconnecting him to his Catholic faith that put him on the road to the priesthood. We've all had suffering in our lives, and how many of us got mad at God as a result of that suffering? Tomorrow, how to turn that into a prayer offering and conversion of our souls. Plus, Glenn's Story Corner and the day's gospel reading on Wednesday's Morning Air.
A uniquely Catholic experience with over 1 million visitors each month, and one could be waiting for you at CatholicMatch.com. You know, the sacrament of marriage is vital to our Catholic faith. Why not consider taking a leap of faith and connect with other Catholic singles on CatholicMatch.com?
Want to weigh in? Call now at 877-766-3777.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, 9 now before the top of the hour. Before I get back to our conversation, just a quick programming note for those of you. Donald Trump saying some stuff that, well, I personally think is crazy. I know some of you may disagree with me on that, but we'll talk a little bit about Donald Trump saying he wants to put a ban on all Muslims coming into this country. And you know, we need to pray for priests, and not priests, we need to pray for peace, P-E-A-C-E. And for really a proper understanding of religious rights as well. France is planning to shut down up to about 160 mosques. I want to talk about that. Donald Trump, religious freedom, better understanding that. Iran, I don't know if you heard this story, they tested a new ballistic missile. That's causing a lot of people concern. We're going to talk with Monsignor Swetland about that and much, much more. We'll talk religious freedom and a lot of other issues. But right now, I want to get back to our conversation. I know a lot of you have loved ones that have perhaps left the church or away from the faith. And I want you to know that God's grace is profound. And if you pray, if you're faithful to God, if you fast, if you offer your sufferings, I have no doubt that those souls will receive the grace they need to know God and to love Him and to return to the embrace that is the Catholic Church. And I'm joined by a woman today who was raised in a very Catholic family. Her father was a theology professor. She rejected God in her early teens, was an atheist, and fell away from the church, got into everything from grunge and a whole lot of other stuff. I don't think she ever really got into the drug scene, but she was away from God, and God's grace prevailed. I know her parents were praying for her, and I want to allow her to finish the rest of her story because it's a great conversion story and can maybe help you. Help your loved ones come back to the church. And it's great to have Sister Teresa Alethea Noble join me once again. And Teresa, let's pick it up on that point. What happened? You know, you were involved in some heavy music and the grunge movement and a whole bunch of other stuff. Never so much drugs. That was probably a grace. But tell me about what you were going through and how God brought you home.
Yeah, I mean, high school was a pretty rough time. I was in the punk scene, and I was doing drugs and having sex and doing all the things that parents are, really hope that their teenagers won't be doing at that age. And I was full of a lot of anger and rebellion at that point in my faith, so I really wasn't considering anything spiritual. When I got to college, things changed a little bit. And part of that really was through the example of some of the Christians around me. I had left the church in part because of some things that I had seen that had been hypocritical behavior on the part of Christians. But I cover that in my book, but I also want to emphasize, and the reason I wrote my book is because it was also the merciful face of Christians that invited me back to the church, who were the face of Jesus to me, who sometimes said things and sometimes didn't, but through their words and through their actions, through their gaze upon me, a gaze of tender mercy, that is one of the things that led me back to the church. And so in college, I kind of started exploring things, but really because I wanted to be able to say, I've explored it all and I've rejected it. And so I explored Buddhism and I was looking into all these different things. But I really had a moment of conversion in Costa Rica. And so it was over 10 years since I had become an atheist. There had been intellectual movements toward being more open to something supernatural, but it was in that moment of conversion that I knew that God existed and that He loved me and that He had a plan for my life. And earlier you introduced me by saying, you know, I know it's the prayers of people that make a difference, and that God answers your prayers for your sons and your daughters. And I know that God answered the prayers of your listeners through my conversion. I know that. I know that through the prayers of strangers, through the prayers of my parents, that God gave me that grace in that moment to be open to His.
Can you share what you went through? I mean, what was this encounter with God? I remember speaking to a Jewish man who encountered God the same way. He had a profound, profound conversion. God just poured His grace. What happened? Can you share it?
Yeah, I was in this little farm town, and the people in the town, first, it was their example that started to kind of turn the wheels in my head. And I had one encounter with one farmer. I was weeding the garden, and he came up to me and he said, "This is such a beautiful day, isn't it, Teresita?" That's what they called me. And he said, "Thank God, it's such a beautiful day." And I'm really a frank person, so I said to him, "Oh, Chapo, you know, it is a nice day, but I'm not thankful to God. I don't believe in Him." And he looked at me with such surprise, just almost like he couldn't even, it didn't even occur to him that someone wouldn't believe in God. It was just so shocking to him. But he wasn't angry at me or upset by what I said. He was just very surprised. And then he looked at me with this look of love and this look of, it was also mirth. He was kind of amused by me. And I remember that look and I looked at this man. He was actually the town drunk, and he was, you know, not a model Christian, but someone who believed in God and someone who had a strong faith. And I remember that look, and I thought, why does this man know something that I don't? And so that kind of those interactions with these faith-filled people prepared my heart for this moment when I was walking over a hill to the farm. It was early in the morning. It was a beautiful day. There were mountains all around. I was looking at the trees, and there was a light breeze, and I just thought, I'm so grateful. I felt this feeling of gratitude. And at the same time that I had that feeling, there was a huge gust of wind that was so strong that I felt like a tree was going to fall on me. And so in that moment, I felt gratitude and I felt fear. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, God revealed Himself to me. And I just knew with a certainty that I had never had before, that God existed, that He was a person, and that He loved me, and that He had a plan for my life. And that's really all anyone needs to know.
Amen. Well, sister, I love it. My guest today, Sister Teresa Alethea Noble, and sister, your book is called The Prodigal You Love, Inviting Loved Ones Back to the Church. I have less than a minute. Is that a good gift to have people give to their loved ones who have somebody who separated themselves from God?
This book is for us. and especially in this year of mercy, so that we can be those people that look upon our loved ones with the eyes of mercy. So this book is for the people who have loved ones who are away from the church.
It's called The Prodigal You Love, Inviting Loved Ones Back to the Church. Read it if you've been praying for the conversion of your son, your daughter, your parents, your siblings. It's available at Pauline Books and Media. Sure, all Catholic bookstores are online as well. I'm Drew Mariani. My thanks to Sister Teresa. Your news and headlines are straight ahead. I'll be back right after that.